Hi, I'm Eva. That's short for Evelyn. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, and I'm anorexic in that when I do go into relapse, I have a tendency to restrict to the point of starvation, and bulimic in that I would purge in ways to try to get rid of the food that I binged. I've maintained a 150-pound weight loss. Sorry, I can't show you any pictures. I didn't get a chance to upload them. I became a compulsive overeater as a result of physical and sexual abuse as a child. My alcoholic father left me when I was 8 to a substance abusing mentally ill mother who would beat me to the point of breaking bones, and she exposed me to a lot of sexual abuse from multiple boyfriends. And I'm one of those people that I have to say that sugar saved my life. That sounds odd, but sugar numbed my physical and emotional pain, and it actually saved me from starvation, because a lot of times my mother just didn't think to feed me as a child. I learned to use sugar as a coping mechanism to deal with all bad emotions all through my adulthood. And I was very angry with God because I felt that he abandoned me, and I blamed him for not protecting me as a child. My first exposure to OA was when, in my first meeting in 1998, after I had my last child. And the moment I heard the word God and free from sugar and flour, I sneaked out of that room before the end of the meeting. I thought that this was just a cult, and it was not the diet plan that I was looking for. My second meeting was 13 years later, weighing almost 300 pounds, with severe joint and chronic shortness, severe joint pain and chronic shortness of breath. Working the steps helped me to reconnect me with God. O OA opened my eyes with God, showing me that God never abandoned me. I began to realize that he had put people in my path, such as guidance counselors, teachers, social workers, who instilled a sense of value in me. And that carved the way towards my leaving poverty and abuse behind, and looking at that I was being a successful person today. So what does the word relapse mean? What it really means is to slip or fall back into a former worse state after a change for the better. In mental health, relapse means when a person stops maintaining their goal of avoiding use of the addictive substance and returns to their previous level of use. In my 13 years in OA, I've relapsed 3 times. The first lasted 3 months, the second 1.5 years, the last 3.5 years. Notice how much harder it was getting for me to get back to OA. In this recovery, I decided to become struck abstinent in March 20 of 2020, the beginning of the shutdown of the pandemic. At the time, I am a healthcare worker, and at the time I was working in a clinic and was temporarily deployed to work inpatient to develop discharge plans for COVID patients. Incredibly stressful time in my life, and I could have been in the world of food, because I never saw so much food in my life, with all the donations of pharmaceutical companies, rehab centers, local restaurants. I could have had a binge fest. I went to a physical at the time to find that I was very close to being a diabetic, and my primary wanted to put me on medications and a on diabetic regimen. I asked her to give me 3 months to work on my food, because I knew that it was my binging on sugar that had a lot to do with that. And when I came back 3 months later, my A1C was below the diabetic range. And I was grateful that I didn't have to go on a diabetic re regimen. Somehow, the fact that I had two total knee replacement, two total hip replacements before the age of 58, that didn't convince me to stop binging on sugar. But diabetes did. Because at that point, I was working at a diabetic clinic, and I saw the worst that diabetes can do. I also come from a family of obesity, where the average age is age 72 of death, where they died of diabetic complications. I am 64 years old. I don't want to live just 8 more years. Okay. I want to live a much longer life. And so at the time when I decided to become abstinent, I was weighing 241 pounds. It could have been very easy for me to gain another 100 pounds with the food fest that existed right before my eyes. I'm only 5 foot 3, so that's very much. I've attributed my current recovery for the following practices. First, I do my nightly review. I examine and evaluate my fears, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and harms. And as stated in page 62, selfish self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position of hurt. This process interrupts my tendency to repress and suppress bad feelings that would eat at me to the point that it drives me to want to get that first compulsive bite, and then it starts the phenomenon of craving, and then I'm off to the races. The second thing that I think is very helpful is I have a spiritual connection with God through prayer, where I speak to God and meditate to listen to God to see what He's telling me. This practice helps me to receive guidance from God to follow His will and not mine, because my will always gets me into trouble. This practice succeeds in creating a pause, in that I don't engage in that knee-jerk reaction to want to jump to that first compulsive bite whenever I feel a bad feeling. I love reading the St. Francis prayer, and that's on the 12 and 12. And the reason it's a lovely prayer. It says, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love and then to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens in eternal life. Amen. This prayer helps me to replace my negative feelings and emotions to positive ones. This process, it helps me lift my mood, and change my way of thinking, because I can be a negative overthinker, which puts me in a really bad and dark place. OA helped me to realize that God is not there to spoon feed me and to hand things to me and to make things easy for me. That's how I lived most of my life. My prayers in the past used to consist of a laundry list, list of demands and bargaining with God. If you do this for me, I'll do X, Y, and Z for you. I've had to learn to that I have to work hard for what I want. I have to earn it. It's not something that I should expect it to be handed to me. And I heard a saying in Instagram that clearly really was inspiring to me. And it was said by a Catholic priest. And he said, I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for courage and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love and God gave me troubled people to help. My prayers were answered. Third, providing service is crucial. Working with others has helped me to transition from self-focus to self and self-preoccupation to the focus on others. It helps me to get myself out of me, because the inside me is a dangerous place to be. Working with others helped me feel attracted to seeing the recovery of others. And that recover inspires me and it motivates me and it helps me maintain my recovery. The fourth thing that I did when I was in relapse, which was very crucial, and that is when you're in full relapse, never leave the rooms. Never, never, never leave the rooms. Even if you're just going to one meeting a week. And the last relapse, I was in relapse for 3.5 years. I maintained my meeting every Thursday night. And I see one of my girls there from that meeting. And even though I was in full relapse for such a long time, it was important for me to see the recovery of other people. There's so much recovery in that Thursday night group. It inspired me to eventually finally make a click and to decide that I'm going to come back to recovery. And God willing, on March 20th, it will be 4 years that I'll be in recovery. And that's the longest I've ever been recovered, fully recovered. I think I've been more longer in relapse than I've been recovered. And so keeping your foot in that door, and not leaving away, even though you may feel ashamed. I mean, I felt ashamed about going to the meeting and having the weight on and leaving, thinking that I was going to definitely stop binging. But I'm glad that I never left the rooms this last time, because I think I would have been, I don't know, 400 pounds easily, when that pandemic occurred, and I was under such incredible stress, and I'm very grateful for that. So today I live a happy, tranquil life. I use all the tools in the program to help me deal with the obstacles and challenges in life, because those will always exist. And for that's it. I pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much. We are blessed with the second speaker, Gail, and welcome to you. How would you like to be timed, Gail?
Let's see, it's 12 minutes, maybe halfway through, like it's 6 minutes.
Okay, Amy, you have
Yeah,
that?
Gail, you're 15. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Halfway, got it.
All right,
Yeah.
halfway. And then maybe a 2 minute warning also, just in case I go over.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Gail, compulsive overeater, and happy to be here.
Oh,
I do,
sorry.
I apologize. I do have some notes here I might be glancing at. I discovered recently going to in-person meetings that I seem to be more comfortable in person than I am on Zoom. I don't know why that is, but I think because I feel like I'm talking to a computer or something. But anyway, just for a short qualification, I am a compulsive overeater, and I chose to return to the HAL program of Overeaters Anonymous June 2022. So it's about 19 months ago. And I have lost 76 pounds, from the weight I had gained in my last relapse. And I'm back from a long time relapse. Recently, when I had to qualify at a meeting, I was looking through pictures through old photo albums to take to the meeting, because I remember many years ago, I used to like to see that, the before and after pics were inspiring. And it struck me so hard as I was flipping through the pages, going through my daughter's baby book, my old albums, how I had gained and lost 70 pounds twice. So I was looking at these pictures going, and I started to think, what was happening during those times? Like, why did that happen? It gave me, some kind of insight what was going on in my life. So when my daughter was around 2 years old, I had gained the same 70 pounds I had taken off a decade prior to that. And I wanted to be a good mother. So I went to OA, and that's when I found the HAL program, and I was absent for 7 years. But looking back compared to my current recovery, you know, after that, I went to relapse. I didn't know anything about the spiritual part of the program. You know, I have old books that I underline things. And for some reason, I only remember going through a few steps and knowing nothing about the spirituality. So looking back at my whole life, I had periods of my life when I was not overeating at all. I was actually like a healthy person. I actually enjoyed exercising, you know, in a moderation and all. And now when I'm reading the big book, I see it's like the AA stories when people, it said stop drinking for a period of time, you know, like a new job or falling in love. But the disease can, and then the disease could present itself at any time. I learned the hard way that the disease is always there. And that used to, I guess, annoy me when I heard that, but now it is like freedom for me. I know my disease is always there, and so I need to address it. And then so after the 7 years of recovery, life as a mother, parenting became more complex, and I made a near fatal decision that working the program is taking up too much time, so I quit. I don't have time for this. So looking back, I had not developed the spiritual part of the program, as I said, and nor do I remember working like steps, especially 6 through 11. I did not do that at that time. So unfortunately, my last relapse lasted 25 years. I mean, when I did my step 4, I just like cannot fathom that. And as I hear other people say, you know, keep coming back. I really appreciate and admire people that still come into the rooms while they're in relapse, because I just like walked away and that was it. Of course, you know, OA was still in my mind, of course. And during the 25 years of, you know, my controlled compulsive overeating. So every year, maybe I gained 5, 6, I gained 7 pounds, you know, maintaining 220, maintaining 240. That's, hey, I'm not gaining any weight, I'm maintaining. So that was 25 years of that. During, you know, and now we fast forward to COVID. During COVID, at first my neighbor and I started doing walking, but by into it about 6 months, I gained the additional about, you know, people said they gained 15 pounds, normal people, I gained like at least 25, might even been close to 30. So I was, the last time I remember weighing myself, I was just under 300 pounds. And, So proving to myself that this disease is progressive, it really is. I got to a critical level at that time of having atrial fibrillation. I'm sure you've heard that on all these commercials, and the start of sleep apnea, all related to my obesity, and my knees were falling apart. And even with all that would be a wake up call, it took me a whole nother year thinking about coming back to OA. It's like unbelievable. So one day, I actually remember the day. Actually, I was sitting right where I'm sitting now. One day I had to face a decision that I would go back to OA, which I knew was the only answer for me. Like other options, you know, I've tried all the other diets and things people have shared at other meetings. And even my primary is like, you have to go to Weight Watchers, Gail. You have to go to Weight Watchers. And I was like, no. I need to go to OA. I would actually say that, but I would not do it. So one day I knew it was the only answer for me. So at this point, I was sitting here going, go back to OA, or, oh, at this point, the hell with it. I'll just be a fat old lady. You know, it's just like my mother was overweight. I'll just be overweight and just be a fat old lady. So I literally was looking at these two options to me. And it was a spiritual moment, not a spiritual waking, but and I'm naturally a happy person. You know, I don't have any history of depression. However, at that time, I had this analogy in my mind of looking at a candle, like my spirituality was like dying out. I actually could feel that. And that scared me more than, you know, the AFib and my bad knees. And oh, the back pain too. I forgot about that. So, yes, I was taken out of the house one day in on a backboard in an ambulance for back pain because it was that bad. My first meeting, I was ready to surrender. I mean, that's how it was. That's how desperate I was. My first meeting, I was ready to, to take step one. And I actually realized I just gave up. I was powerless over this problem. I gave up. And I started to see my life was unmanageable. I just heard somebody, another speaker saying too, like, well, I had a good job. I'm making good money. I'm functioning, you know, like, what's the problem? You know, why can't I do this? And somebody gave me a calendar where you rip off, it has little witty things on it. And one of the things says, it's exhausting. What does it say? It's exhausting pretending to be a functioning person. And so it reminded me that it took so much energy. It takes more energy to be in relapse than it wasn't in recovery.
Excuse me, Gail, halfway.
Oh, thanks. As desperate as I'm telling you I was, I remember dreading the thought that, working program, this is going to take time. I don't need to do another task. My life is so busy. My life is so busy. I was like, and I knew that was like a stupid, you know, thinking of the disease, even while I was telling myself that. So that proves to be just an excuse to not take care of myself. If that's the only thing I could tell you, it's like baloney. It wasn't until I started accumulating like a few months of recovery that I realized how critical my health and my frame of mind was and the damage to my body. It was like, you know, it's not like I never looked in the mirror or whatever, how I was feeling it, AFib and all this. But after I was in recovery, I was looking back going, holy crap, you know, like it was really, really realizing, you know, what I've done to myself. So, the main point, if I don't say anything else, is I have plenty of time to work program. Yes, it takes work. It takes time. I had to get organized. But there's plenty of time in a day, and compulsive overeating wastes a lot of time. It wastes a lot of time. It wastes a lot of space in my brain, a lot of energy. It's a big waste of time. I wish for anyone in relapse to not do what I did. The first step is the hardest, but that is all that is needed to make a start. I just remember that day. I just started, even though I was in program, you know, 25 years before, I just erased all that. I started like a new person. I was in denial so long, and I never asked for help. I had a lot of regret to work through in my step four about not getting back to OA sooner. let me see. And then today too, I'm also a healthcare worker. So today I really comprehend that it's a real disease. It's not like, you know, used to be kind of a slogan before, but it's like really, really a disease. And if I had any other disease, wouldn't I want to go for help? You know, I'm the kind of person, like if I see something, I'm always looking up stuff. I'm always reading things. And so now if I don't say it here, I read the big book. I read other OA literature, go to meetings. And if I had any other disease, I researched like the silliest things. So, you know, some skunk is digging up my yard. Next thing you know, I'm reading all about skunks and while they're doing, you know, all this kind of thing. So anyway, I address this just like, you know, I would if somebody told me I had cancer or diabetes or anything. So to keep my disease in remission every day, I use, all the tools, the food plan, read, write, pray, meditation, the phone. I have a sponsor, I have sponsees, and attend meetings. And it occurred to me just recently when I saw some title about this program, it occurred to me, we have car insurance, house insurance, dog insurance, health insurance. I pay all these bills and have insurance against everything. Why not have insurance against my number one problem, my compulsive overeating? So using all the tools is my insurance against a slip. Okay. I am so grateful for like the willingness. I feel like nothing, no matter what happens in my life, you know, and believe me, like stuff's happened over the last, like, say, year and a half. nothing is going to get between me and my program. Nothing. And now I have, I'm very grateful for like the peace, serenity, and the clarity, you know, in my life. And I have much more energy. And it's not just the weight loss either, because it started to, this started like my first few months. I have much more energy. And I kind of feel like I feel lighter even before the weight loss, like I float through my daily life. Let me see. Oh, and actually I do live through the steps and the principles of the program, and I have a genuine spiritual life. I used to be skeptical, and I guess you could call it judgmental when I heard other people say this at program. Like even early in my recovery, I was like, I think their whole life is program, you know, judging other people. And I have had a spiritual awakening, and things happened to me that would not happen. That, you know, I did not cause it myself. It actually is higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. I could tell you, call me anytime. I like phone calls, and it's like really happened to me. Now I realize, now that I'm in recovery, that I'm in recovery so I can live a good life. You know, it's not like, oh, my life is all program. But now it's like very much changed all my life, each day, no matter whatever happens. And another last thing is I feel it's, 25 years of relapse, when I was thinking, yeah, I'll just be a fat old lady. Now I realize it's never too late. It's never too late. And so many things in program, you know, my sponsor's like, I have to work on my self-centeredness and whatever I did in step four. And I thought it's ironic. I'm working on myself to find myself and then help others. I was like, what? But now it's actually happened to me. It just like really, really happens that I'm interested more in others. And I didn't realize the isolation of this disease is so sneaky.
Gentle reminder, a minute and a half.
All right, I made it. Yay. I didn't think I had that much to say. So it's never too late. And keep coming back. Don't do what I did and relapse. And because you never know. Somebody else said, listen for the, I forget what you said, but listen for that recovery to come. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ev, and thank you, Gail. Ev and Gail both have their phone numbers on the screen if you want to take them down for future.